Tehran urges the Bahraini regime to respond to the people's demands. Iran tells EU's action the next round of talks with the P5+1 must be just. The United Nations warns over a human catastrophe in Libya. And G8 ministers seek ways to fight drug trafficking. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, good evening. You're watching IRIB English News. Those were the latest headlines. And here is more on their full stories and other developments from around the world. Iran's foreign ministry spokesman Ramin Mehmanparast has described the suppression and violent treatment of Bahraini protesters as wrong. Mehmanparast said the Manama regime should pay attention to the demands of the Bahraini people. The spokesman also said the venue and the date of talks with the five permanent members of the UN Security Council and Germany have not been decided yet. He said the Iranian president accepted a proposal for talks earlier tabled by the European Union foreign policy chief in Istanbul. Meanwhile, on the U.S. officials' comments that the MKO grouping will stay based in Iraq, Mehmanparast said supporting terrorists, one form or the other, is against Washington's international obligations. Secretary of Iran's Supreme National Security Council, Saeed Jalili, has replied to a letter by the European Union Foreign Policy Chief Catherine Ashton on fresh nuclear talks, saying they should be based on justice. In the letter handed over in Vienna by the Iran's ambassador to the European Union, the chief negotiator has welcomed P5+1's return to talks aimed at cooperation on common grounds. Jalili has underlined that the negotiations should be without pressuring the other party and based on respect for the nations. The letter also reads that the recent developments in the region shows that Iran's package of proposals offered in 2008 was based on a sound perception of realities. The top security official has reiterated that the unnecessary insistence of certain governments on keeping the unjust status quo around the globe and their support for despotic rulers despite the nation's demand cannot persist any longer. And in Libya, a NATO bombing blitz rocked Tripoli as the United Nations warned over a humanitarian catastrophe in the North African country. NATO jets screamed in low over the Libyan capital in the early hours of Tuesday, carrying out an unusually heavy bombardment over roughly 3 hours. In the meantime, fighting has been heaviest in and around Misrata, located in the east of the capital, which is widely known as a make-or-break city in the Libyan conflict. Revolutionary forces said they have driven Muammar Gaddafi's forces back from around Misrata, which has been besieged for weeks. Meanwhile, the United Nations said the conflict and the NATO attacks has brought different inconveniences for people, including widespread shortage of essential goods.
The longer the current situation continues, the graver the humanitarian situation will become. Humanitarian agencies are most concerned about the people living in areas where fighting is taking place. In Misrata, which is at the forefront of our concerns, shelling and fighting has been ongoing in parts of the city for over 2 months. Stocks are available, but some people are running short of food, water, and other basics. Civilians are still coming under fire in these areas of conflict. This has to stop.
Thousands of Chilean conservationists staged a protest gathering against a mega hydroelectric dam project south of the South American country. Thousands of people clashed with police who used water cannons to disperse the protesters in downtown Santiago in the wake of the approval by an environmental panel for a $3.2 billion hydroelectric project to generate up to 2.75 gigawatts of electricity. The Hidroisen project would see the construction of 5 hydroelectric power stations along 2 rivers south of Chile. The opponents say the project will badly impact 6 national parks, 11 national reserves, as well as a number of conservation sites, wetlands, and protected areas. Japanese evacuees were allowed briefly back to their home inside the Fukushima Daiichi exclusion zone to collect belongings. Here is a report.
These evacuees from the exclusion zone around Japan's crippled nuclear power plant haven't seen their homes in Kawauchi village for weeks. This was their first trip back since the Fukushima Daiichi plant leaked radiation after the March 11th quake and tsunami. It's the briefest of visits. They have just 2 hours to collect personal belongings and for some to check on farm animals. The head of the Tokyo Electric Power Company, which operates the stricken plant, is asking for government help to shoulder the burden of compensation. Ministers have so far failed to agree on a final plan to help the firm cope with the anticipated multi-billion dollar bill. While the wrangling goes on, these evacuees have to come to terms with the possibility that this is the last they'll see of their own homes for a very long time.
Turning to the world of sports, Sara Khademusharieh from Iran has been promoted to gain the title of International Chess Master in the 10th Asian Continental Individual Championship. Khademusharieh settled for a draw against her Indian rival in the 8th round of the competitions, raising her points to 4.5. She also secured the required points to become an International Master. Other games saw Iran's Elshan Moradi and Otosapur Karshian concede defeats against their opponents. China's grandmaster Yu Yangyi is now leading the rankings table with 6.5 points. The contests running until May 11 bring together 78 chess players from 14 countries in the northeastern city of Mashhad. Iran's only representative in the main draw of the men's individual said an early farewell to the 2011 World Table Tennis Championship. In the Dutch city of Rotterdam, Nushad Alamian suffered a defeat against veteran Croatian rival Zoran Primorac 4-0. Alamian stands 180th in the world ranking, while Primorac holds the 39th place. Earlier in the competitions, all other Iranian players lost their matches in both men's and women's events and were eliminated from the tournament. Now, a look at some other stories in brief. The Export Guarantee Fund of Iran says the insurance coverage for non-oil exports will increase to $1 billion this year. EGFI Managing Director Kazim Dost Hosseini told reporters that the fund has so far provided insurance coverage for exports 13 times more than its capital. Dost Hosseini said the fund supports the imports of equipment, machinery and other goods that lead to exports in due course. He added Iranians living in other countries can also benefit from the support offered by the fund. A Guatemalan court has cleared former President Alfonso Portillo of charges of embezzling public funds but has ordered him to stay in the country. The court ruled prosecutors did not present sufficient evidence to prove Portillo stole $15 million from the military in 2001 and hid it in offshore accounts. Portillo now faces appeal courts before a later decision whether to extradite him based on a request by the United States. The Guatemalan Attorney General has pledged to challenge the court decision. Ministers and senior officials from 22 countries held a meeting in the French capital Paris to hammer out a joint plan to tackle the booming transatlantic cocaine trade. The one-day summit was hosted by France as the current president of the group of eight industrialized nations. The meeting is aimed at recruiting cocaine-producing countries in Latin America and countries of transit and consumption into a transatlantic war on the drug trade. In recent years, cocaine consumption has rocketed in Europe while falling in the US. The Italian army has been ordered to clear tons of uncollected garbage from the rubbish-strewn streets of Naples a week before local elections in the country's third biggest city. The government order comes as Premier Berlusconi is due to hold a rally in Naples on Saturday before the first round of voting on Sunday and Monday. Despite Berlusconi's repeated pledges to solve the chronic garbage crisis in Naples once and for all, more than 4,000 tons of garbage piled up with refuse dumps overflowing. After more than 100 years, one of the most highly valued varieties of cocoa ever known is once again back in business. For decades, Ecuador's national cocoa bean was considered to be extinct after succumbing to disease in the early 20th century. Today, it is rediscovered as a result of a chance encounter in neighboring Peru and the power of laboratory genetic research. Due to the time-consuming production process, the Nacional bean is expensive, but experts believe chefs and consumers will be willing to pay more for the rare kind. An international cartoon and caricature festival has wrapped up in Iran after awarding top works. The festival featured cartoons on the two subjects of the Devil vs. Holy Books and the Devil vs. Human Nature in the competition section. Also, participants displayed their caricatures of the American pseudo-pastor Terry Jones, who launched a campaign for burning the Holy Quran. The internet website Iran Cartoon has put 450 of the cartoons and caricatures on display. The worst floods to hit the central United States in more than 80 years swallowed up homes, farms, and roadways as the mighty Mississippi River swelled to six times its normal width. Here is more on the consequences of the floods.
Motorboat is now the only way to access this row of popular Mississippi casinos. They've been submerged in floodwater from the Mississippi River, which is threatening to cause more problems in the region. Authorities are warning that up to 5,000 residents may be forced to evacuate, and officials say they expect nearly 3,000 properties to suffer some impact from the flooding. In an effort to reduce the river's water level, government engineers opened the Bonnie Carr spillway on Monday for the first time since 2008. This diverted water into Lake Pontchartrain, from where it will eventually flow into the Gulf of Mexico. The Mississippi River, swollen with winter snow melt and rain, is carrying near-record flows slowly south to low-lying New Orleans.
A weather report is coming your way. On behalf of myself and the rest of the news team, thanks for watching. Until we meet again, goodbye.